This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
We are into the fourth hour of the show, and while recent news events continue to suggest that diversity pretty much equals no white people, big controversy in London, which I'm going to explain a little later in the show, about a play in the diverse East End area of London where white people have been told not to attend. But first, in the United States, this is out of Information Liberation. Uber's Asian diversity chief put on leave after hosting Don't Call Me Karen event addressing anti-white racism. Yes, the Uber diversity hire actually considered the diversity concerns of white people, and she is basically out after the social media mobs, after the employees there at Uber demanded that she be punished for daring to countenance, daring to even consider the fact that some white people, especially white women working for Uber, feel that they're being discriminated against in another example of institutionalized racism, which seems to only go one way these days, doesn't it? And increasingly, it doesn't seem to be going against black people, Hispanics, or anyone else but white people. This is Uber diversity chief Bo Young Lee. And she wasn't an Uber enough diversity chief, as it turned out, has been suspended from her job for hosting a Don't Call Me Karen event for the company's white female employees to discuss the American white woman's experience in dealing with the anti-white Karen slur. And you've seen it over and over again. Whether you think that it's being oversensitive, trying to discourage, trying to ban this Karen slur, which of course is a meme that emerged back in early 2020, I think, the fact is that it is a prejudice, pejorative term used primarily, used exclusively, in fact, against middle-aged, generally middle-class white women, and they're called Karens. We saw the bike Karen incident, of course, last week in New York. I'm going to get to that video later, where she was vilified, monstered by social media mobs. They exposed her career to harm. The hospital she worked for actually threw her under a bus and put her on leave. Again, her private information was doxed. She was exposed to the sycophantic social media mobs for the crime of paying for a bike, paying to hire a bike in New York City. But of course, because two or three black men walked up to her and claimed that it was their bike, suddenly the mass media reported that she had stolen it, that it was a racist act of Karenhood. And again, she was vilified, she was monstered. Turned out, of course, the lawyer had the receipts. And she had indeed rented the bike. If anyone was stealing the bike, it was the group of black men who approached her. So indeed, it is a slur, it is a racial pejorative used against middle-aged white women, generally, also younger women in that case. But the New York Times reports Uber's diversity chief put on leave after complaints of insensitivity. And that basically equated to the diversity chief considering the sensitivities of white women, which apparently you're not allowed to do because white people aren't included in diversity and inclusivity. And of course, as we're told over and over again, it's impossible to be racist against white people. Uber has placed its longtime head of diversity, equity and inclusion on leave after workers complained that an employee event she moderated called Don't Call Me Karen was insensitive to people of color. Basically, a bunch of employees, white women at Uber, complained that they were being smeared with this Karen terminology in the private employee chat logs, that it was being bandied about on Slack. They complained about it. This diversity chief, this Asian lady, basically gave a meeting, a conference, saying, please let's stop using racial pejorative slurs against our white employees. And basically, there was massive uproar. The black employees, some of the Hispanic employees at Uber basically erupted with outrage. And now, because of that outrage, she has been placed on leave. Uber has put its chief DEI officer, Bo Young Lee, on leave after they complained that she dare consider the sensitivities of white people. We're going to get more into that and into the London white people.
InfoWars is known for being tomorrow's news today. InfoWars is known for having 98% accuracy on average. InfoWars is known as being a game changer, and our products are not any different. Two amazing products that I really want you to try if you've never tried them, or if you've been a regular buyer of them, they've been sold out for a long time, they're back in stock, I want to remind you are now back in stock, are the Real Red Pill Plus and Elephant Bone Broth. I don't have time in 60 seconds to tell you about all the ingredients, but believe me, you want to go research. You want to go check out Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth, back in stock, but they're selling out quick. And despite the fact they're selling out, they're both discounted. In fact, Real Red Pill Plus is 40% off right now, but in a week or so, it's going to go back to full price because it's about to sell out. This is your chance to experience Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Thank you for your support.
Summit.News headquarters. It's Paul Joseph Watson.
Now, this Uber diversity head being put on leave for not being diverse enough in daring to include the sensitivities of white employees at Uber. Again, this story was reported by the New York Times, but it was actually first reported by journalist Richard Hanania a couple of days ago. He got all the chat logs where this internal outrage erupted, that the concerns of white women being called the Karen slur were being voiced in the private Slack chat logs. He said, it doesn't appear many men are involved here. Below are the advertisements of the session and the email announcing the leave of absence. So this didn't even go public for Uber to put her on leave. This was merely an internal rebellion from some of the diverse employees within the company. And it shows from these chat logs that basically no one was offended by this to begin with. Many of the Hispanic employees didn't see a problem with it whatsoever. It was basically a couple of black women in the chat logs that got angry. And then because their concerns are vastly inflated over everyone else's, it blew up massively. It became a big internal issue. Says one of the female members of the Blacks at Uber group, which apparently is a thing, tries to shame the Latinos at Uber organization for not being outraged enough and gets a few to respond. He notes that one of these employees said that they should not be triggered. That was the initial complaint. Oh, this is triggering. They said not everything that's perceived as triggering is actually triggering. That's a thought crime. You can't say that. He goes on to say more from the Latinos at Uber channel, women rushing to reassure the original triggered woman. So it's basically one or two people who got offended by this. And now this diversity chief is basically, she's on her way out. So the original triggered woman said their feelings are valid. They as Latinos also very, very upset. So the Latinos only got upset when they were told to be upset, basically. Chris Menahan points out that this is quite similar to Apple's diversity chief, Denise Young-Smith, who is black, being fired from her job and replaced, ironically, by a liberal white woman, because she said that a group of blue-eyed blonde men can be diverse. No, you can't have diversity if it includes white people. I keep trying to explain that. During an appearance at the One World Summit in Bogota, Colombia, back in 2017, Smith had the temerity to say that diversity is a human experience. Again, no, it isn't. According to them, according to their rules of segregation, of disinclusivity, white people aren't part of diversity, so you can't say that. She said, I get a little bit frustrated when diversity or the term diversity is tagged to the people of color or the women or LGBT. Again, they're the special protected groups. Diversity only applies to them. They only get special provisions, special considerations, special benefits. She said, get this, there can be 12 white blue-eyed blonde men in a room, and they're going to be diverse too, because they're going to bring a different life experience and life perspective to the conversation. Again, she's not understanding that it's not about that. It's about institutionalized racism against white people. It's about segregation. It's about non-inclusivity. He goes on to say, we're told incessantly by the media and our ruling elites that America is a white supremacist nation. And yet non-white diversity chiefs can't even discuss anti-white racism without losing their jobs. She was fired for saying that, and this Asian head of diversity at Uber is now on leave. Speaking of institutionalized anti-white racism, this is up on summit.news. White people told they're not welcome at BLM-inspired London play. Yes, segregation is back and it's progressive. Once again, diversity equals no white people. White people have been told not to attend a BLM-inspired theatre production in London so that black audience members can enjoy it without being subjected to the white gaze, which again suggests that they would be uncomfortable in the mere presence of white people. What could be more segregationist than that? What could be more vilifying? What could be more dehumanizing to even suggest that white people being in the same vicinity would what? Make them retch, make them gag, make them run in fear? Apparently that's what they mean by the white gaze. This is the Theatre Royal Stratford East, which is located in a diverse area of London, which means not many white people there, vastly declining number of them, has been accused of setting a dangerous precedent after it was revealed that white visitors have been told to stay away from the July 5th performance of Tambo and Bones. And in fact, we've got a clip from the director of this play, Matthew Gia, explaining what it's all about. Let's go to this clip right now.
Hi, my name is Matthew Zia. I'm the Artist Director of Actors Touring Company, and I'm really excited to be bringing Tambo and Bones to Theatre Royal Stratford East. Tambo and Bones is a darkly provocative satire on race and performance, and it looks at the confluence of capitalism and black performance with these two minstrels who find themselves trapped in a minstrel show in 2023, trying to work out how to get out. They do get out of the minstrel show, and they find themselves again trapped by cliche and stereotype and do the only thing that is possible to do to really break out of the white gaze. It's funny, it's hilarious, it's provocative. It asks an awful lot of its audience in terms of interaction and response. It's written by an amazing writer called Dave Harris from West Philadelphia, born and raised in the playground. He's where he spent most of his days. It's got a hip-hop concert in the middle. For those of you who do know, those of you who don't know, I spent 15 years as a hip-hop DJ supporting all sorts of acts like Grandmaster Flash, De La Soul, lots of UK acts like Plan B and Estelle. And so for me to be returning to Theatre Royal Stratford East, which is a theatre I grew up in, with a hip-hop inspired satire about race and performance, just feels full circle, feels absolutely brilliant.
Now, note how he said there that the two main characters in this play to which white people have been told not to attend, for one night only, thankfully for them, because they make no money, they basically go bankrupt, it'd be a massive loss financially, because black people generally don't tend to go to plays in London. The people who attend theatre productions in London are white, middle-class progressives who are themselves trapped within the confines of white guilt. So, in fact, that's the very kind of play that would only appeal to them. Black people would probably not be interested in it, because if you look at the figures, they're not really interested in theatre in play at all in London. So they basically wiped out their actual main demographic audience that would end up going to this show. But note how he said there in the clip, the director, that these two characters in this BLM-inspired race grievance play, which is basically every other play in London now, in the West End, it's either about that or it's awkwardly crowbarred into it. He said the two main characters in the show end up doing, quote, the only thing that is possible to do to really break out of the white gaze. Gee, I wonder what that is and if it has anything to do with extinguishing white people altogether. I don't know. I haven't seen the play. But he left the question hanging there, didn't he? You also mentioned that the two characters stage a hip-hop performance in the middle of the show, and I've read reviews on that, even from left-wing progressive media outlets, and they basically said it was tawdry and horrible. And then they become activists for Black Lives Matter. So it's basically an out-and-out politicized BLM race grievance play. So it's no surprise that white people have been told to stay away, at least again for one night. Theatre organisers said the one-off blackout event would serve to create a safe private space for an all-black identifying audience. All-black identifying audience, or maybe if you identify as black, maybe if you do a Rachel Dolezal, you can turn up. Maybe if you get the boot polish out, I don't know. A blackout night is the purposeful creation of an environment which an all-black identifying audience can experience and discuss an event. However, Britain's first black police and crime commissioner has come out and said that it sets a poor and dangerous precedent and strongly urged the theatre and director to cancel the event entirely. This isn't just the directors, this isn't just the people behind the play. The theatre itself, it was basically their idea to say, white people, not allowed, they're not part of diversity. Summit.news.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000. Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
So, white people have been told not to attend a BLM-inspired play in London, part of the continued cultural segregation that we see going on as multiculturalism, as diversity is rammed down our throats. White people, it seems, are being increasingly pushed to the fringes and told that they're not a part of that. And in fact, the only legal institutionalized racism that we see in many Western countries now is increasingly against white people. Of course, in the United Kingdom, for example, we have had since 2010 the Equality Act, which allows for positive action when employers are hiring staff members, employees, when it comes to their race. So, for example, if both candidates, according to the eyes of the employer, are both equally of merit, equally suitable for whatever particular role it is, it's completely lawful to pick the non-white candidate and relegate the white candidate based on their race alone. So again, a piece of legislation introduced to address racism actually enforces racism, institutionalized employee racism against white people. And we see another example of that today out of this RT article, London bars whites from internship posting. This is a paid internship posting at the UK government transit body Transport for London, which is obviously the body that runs all the underground trains, overground trains too, in the capital, which is restricted to non-white applicants, and it's triggered widespread outrage after being posted to social media. This is a Stuart Ross Communications internship, which pays a total of $27,000 a year, for 11 months of London-based hybrid working with 1 or 2 days per week in the office. But it requires the applicant, requires white people not allowed again, this is diversity, to be of black, Asian, and minority ethnic background. Bear in mind, of course, that in London, in fact, not just in London, in Manchester, Birmingham, other major UK cities, the biggest UK cities, white British people are now a majority minority. And in London, it's down now, I believe, according to the latest census, into the late 30s in terms of percentage of white British people who live in the capital city of England. But apparently, we need to discriminate against them more by saying they literally can't apply for jobs. Again, the applicant has to be a black, Asian, and minority ethnic background, defined as having some African, Afro-Caribbean, Asian, or other non-white heritage. They deliberately specify non-white. The racial qualification is listed ahead of the requirement that the applicant be either an undergraduate or recent graduate on track to receive a 2-2 in any degree. And it goes on to basically say, yeah, white's not allowed. Farage on Twitter posted this. He said, what if there was an advert saying blacks need not apply? There'd be massive outrage. And again, despite the fact that white British people are indeed a minority, majority minority, at least in these big UK cities, they are still being discriminated against. And it's all legal. It's all lawful, as I just said, under the 2010 Equalities Act. Now, I'm going to get into the latest transgender propaganda news and all the fun and goodies that the alphabet people are bringing us. But first, let's touch on a bit of good news, because I've got this clip, which some of you will have seen, some of you won't have seen, of Elon Musk talking to an NBC journalist. And it ties into this article. Poll shows how radically different Americans' opinions are from liberal corporate media narratives. Again, we have this wall of the censorship industrial complex
We have the wall of fact checkers, legacy media outlets, trying to push one narrative, trying to monster vilify anyone who disagrees with that narrative, and trying to portray them as a tiny extremist minority fringe. Turns out that's complete BS. And journalist Glenn Greenwald has highlighted how a new Harris-Harvard poll, which has been covered practically nowhere in the mainstream media, gee, I wonder why, displays how Americans hold almost wholly opposite opinions to liberal corporate media narratives. Again, the dominant narratives that they will have you believe are embraced, encompassed by 90%+ of the population, are simply not. They're being rejected in greater and greater numbers. Majorities of Americans consider Russian collusion as a false story, believe the Hunter Biden laptop story was never misinformation. He goes on to say the majority of Americans believe the Bidens have engaged in criminal activity and that the FBI is refusing to investigate. All along down the list of these dominant media narratives, Americans are rejecting them in droves, which brings me to this video of Elon Musk being interviewed by an NBC journalist, and he basically made his head explode for daring to say he will not value making money over promoting the truth. This is called He Just Can't Understand It. Let's roll it. A legacy media journo was left confused when Elon Musk tried to explain something to him that he couldn't possibly understand. But not absolutely everything you do should serve the interests of obtaining money and power. An incredible thought, I know.
You tweeted this thing about George Soros.
You said he wants to erode the very fabric of civilization.
But why share it?
I don't know, maybe because it's true.
Why share it when people who buy Teslas may not agree with you? Advertisers on Twitter may not agree with you.
Why voice an opinion when Procter & Gamble might not like it?
Which is obviously the most important thing in society.
Or there are advertisers on Twitter that Linda Yaccarino will come and say, you gotta stop, man. Or, you know, I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet.
Wait for it.
You know, I'm reminded of the scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie.
Great movie.
Where he confronts the person who killed his father. And he says, offer me money. Offer me power. I don't care. Offer me money.
Yes.
Offer me power.
Anything you want.
I don't care.
Please.
So you just don't care.
You don't care about sacrificing all your principles to bloat the bottom line of transnational corporations. You actually care instead that when you die, you'll be remembered for something real, something other than being a complete sellout for the almighty dollar. What a truly bizarre concept.
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Okay.
The host, David Faber, then shared his utter bewilderment that Musk would dare use his platform to challenge the mainstream narrative on a certain recent mass event.
And that's a debate you want to get into on Twitter?
Yes. Because we should not be ascribing things to white supremacy if it's false.
Okay.
The sheer temerity of Elon to challenge the agreed-upon fake consensus. Bethany McLean, a CNBC contributor, was equally flummoxed.
To me, he sounds like a spoiled child when he talks about free speech. If you run a business that depends on advertisers, you might have to think about it a little bit differently. And Musk seems to be utterly unwilling to make that distinction.
Oh, no, he might. He just might. And I know this sounds crazy. See his role in the world as something beyond pleasing the banal sensibilities of big corporations, a concept that's totally alien to regime sycophants, because they can't begin to fathom an existence beyond obeying and amplifying the message, lest it negatively affect their ranking in the peanut gallery alongside other obsequious conformist NPC slaves.
Iodine is naturally acquired through the soil, which is at the foundation of our entire food supply. Modern farming techniques have stripped the soil of this essential trace element, which has caused an iodine deficiency in about half the population. And there are two things we need to do about it. We need to practice more regenerative farming. There are plenty of proven technologies in permaculture and biodynamics that will naturally keep the soil rich with iodine. And we need to ensure that we get the sufficient amount of iodine every day. Derived from ancient sea salts found thousands of feet below the Earth's surface, our InfoWars Life Survival Shield X3 is hands down the best. Pure nascent iodine, stabilized in an activated tri-iodine form for a healthy thyroid and a healthy metabolism. Get yours now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
From London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
Now, I want to get to this video, which I put up just a couple of hours ago, because it really ties into the spiraling crime problems being experienced by people in major cities, not just in America, but in Europe as well. Of course, we've had San Francisco experiencing spiraling problems with homelessness, with open-air drug use. Similar situation in New York, and of course this is why many of the big box retailers are hightailing it and getting out of there altogether. Now we learn, and this is an article out of Moon Battery, social service kiosks for thieves.
How can progressives keep progressing after the ultra-leftist Bill de Blasio appeared to take Moonbattery to the last possible extreme? Well, they're dealing with the massive rush of thieves stealing products because, of course, as in many of these cities, it got lowered from a criminal offence to a misdemeanour. They're now having to put, of course, many products, not even expensive products, behind glass cases, locked cabinets. Well, they've got a solution in New York City. There's the Democrat mayor's plan laid out in a bullet point format during the local Fox 5 broadcast, included providing de-escalation training for retail employees. Because, of course, the criminal thieves, when they rush in there in their bicycles with their giant bags just hoovering up products from the shelves and hightailing it out of there, of course they're going to stop for a de-escalation conversation with the store employees, aren't they? That's really going to work. But they've also suggested putting kiosks in stores that connect would-be thieves to social services. So, yeah, they're going in there with the intent of raiding all the store shelves, filling up their goodie bag with stolen items. But if you just have a quiet conversation with them and say, no, we can have you chat to someone, maybe get some therapy, that, of course, is going to stop them right in their tracks, isn't it? Meanwhile, Telegraph reports San Francisco crime surge drives tech chief exodus to London. San Francisco's millionaire tech entrepreneurs are quitting the city in favor of London amid soaring crime rates in Silicon Valley. Is that really the best idea, given that we've just recorded last year the highest ever crime records in the United Kingdom, particularly in London, where stabbing, street muggings are completely out of control? Which brings us to this next video, which is a big controversy today, about the behavior of a certain TikTok prankster and what he gets up to, filming himself committing crimes for clout, for social media dopamine, on the streets of London. This is called He F'd Around and Found Out. Let's roll it. This 18-year-old TikToker thought it would be a fantastic idea to film himself committing crimes on camera for social media clout by chasing people in the street while wearing a balaclava asking them if they want to die.
Yo, so it's me. What time, son? It's you with the glasses. Well, yeah, do the die.
What? I have a little
bit. Oh, no, it's not. Basically, my suit is from over there, yeah? Take a seat. Take a seat, bro. Man, your suit is from over there, innit, yeah? And you look like you want to tell him get a die.
But it's just hair dye.
No, dye. It's hair dye, bro. It's just hair dye.
Wow, that's hysterical.
Here's a random house of this. Go.
James?
Yeah.
Come to the front
door
right now, please.
James?
Yeah.
James?
Hi.
You man, come.
Hello, James.
We need to speak to James.
James?
Hi. Is this where the study group is?
No.
What door number is this?
No.
Home invading a family with young children. Bro, that's so humorous. You should do stand-up. Interesting, isn't it, how not a single one of the targets of his pranks ever realizes that it's a prank. Asking them if they want to die.
You got some nice hair. Nice and luscious. You're gonna die. Oh. I asked him a question, a serious question. You're gonna die.
No.
How I speak, I'm talking to you, bro. You're gonna die.
Again, the world hasn't seen a comic genius of this caliber since Bill Hicks or Richard Pryor. Mizzy has also inspired his diverse fan base to organize flash mobs of looters who like to ransack stores.
Bye.
What a hilarious prank. I mean, fair enough. If any of Mizzy's pranks were in any way funny, satirical, or a facilitator for social commentary, but they're not. They consist entirely of just frightening people and acting like an obnoxious little twat. Take this stunt where he walks into a library and starts ripping up books.
Boom, we're in the library. I'm sorry, I'm just going. Excuse me, what can I, get a book here?
Again, hilarious. Maybe if Mizzy's age matched his behaviour and he was an 8-year-old kid, it might be cute. It isn't. Despite being exposed as perhaps the most annoying little prick to ever grace the internet, Mizzy was unrepentant, saying it was all worth it for the clout.
I don't let things affect me because you guys are on social media giving me what I want, basically, at the end of the day. You're commenting on these videos, you're engaging, you're posting me more, sharing me everywhere. It's just making my thing blow up.
We are going viral, lads. More viral than I've been in the past, like, 2-3 years.
And it was all made possible by the cancer on society that is TikTok. From human trafficking to dangerous TikTok challenges that have led directly to children killing themselves, to the sexualization of kids. Although it has clamped down on the most dangerous thing to exist ever. Right-wing political opinions, so the media largely gives it a pass. Mizzy's luck finally ran out, though, after he was arrested for picking on the wrong person. He filmed himself assaulting Orthodox Jews in Stamford Hill, an area of London with a large Jewish population, by leapfrogging over their backs in the street. Mizzy f***ed around and found out. Police held the TikToker for 36 hours before charging him with racially aggravated assault. But the cops went soft, and he only ended up being charged with the far lesser crime of criminal damage. Just yesterday, Mizzy posted a video of a police officer reading out a list of crimes he'd committed that's as long as your arm. But crucially, the teenager's offensive behaviour doesn't seem to have challenged any of the sacred narratives. He's no threat to the message. So unlike some people in the UK who get years in prison for mean tweets, expect Mizzy to get away with a slap on the wrist. But in a stunning coincidence, the media and MPs only really went after Mizzy after they had the ingenious idea of exploiting his antics to justify passing the online safety bill, an odious piece of legislation working its way through Parliament that targets free speech via the back door, under which social media giants would have to remove, at the threat of being hit with massive fines, lawful but nebulously characterized, quote, harmful speech. There's been a big struggle over whether that definition will be included in the final version, but left-wing parties are also lobbying to have health-related misinformation and disinformation included, as well as all manner of other sneak attacks that would extinguish freedom of expression. MPs warn vile prankster that new law will force social media sites to delete his videos. Paul Scully, Minister for Tech and Digital Economy, has warned TikTok that the forthcoming online safety bill will mean social media companies would have to delete the content. Oh, that must mean the online safety bill is a good thing then. But wait, TikTok and all the other platforms already ban content that encourages or enables criminal behavior.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, we have several new stories about the ongoing Alphabet People propaganda campaign and how it ties into big retailers. Of course, Gay Pride Month is coming up next month. We're going to see the LGBT flags. We're going to see the tranny flags. Going to see all the giant corporations supporting this supposedly marginalized movement that enjoys the support of cultural institutions, governments, banks, big business, and now Target has become the latest target of anti-woke boycott as it sells Satanist Pride LGBTQ plus products for kids. Hands, are we the baddies? Target has become the latest entity to face widespread boycott from Americans who are sick of corporations using wokeness to market products to children, and now they're stocking products literally designed by a Satanist featuring occult imagery. Because that's the kind of healthy motif that we need to be pushing on children, isn't it? Wisconsin activist Scarlett Johnson brought attention to Target stocking products from a designer going by the name of Apparellen, some of which embrace Satanism. The items include We Belong Everywhere, Messenger Bag, a Too Queer for Here tote bag, and a Cure Transphobia Not Trans People sweatshirt, all listed as Pride adult clothing. But it was a Satan Respects pronoun shirt that garnered the most attention. Now, if your movement is garnering respect from Satan, maybe that tends to suggest that you're not on the right side.
with a description about LGBTQ plus people being so often referred to as being a product of Satan or going against God's will, but being more accepted by the Church of Satan and the Satanic Temple, that's by society at large, yeah. If your biggest cheerleader is literally the Church of Satan and the Satanic Temple, chances are that this hashtag Be Kind movement isn't really very beneficent. The Satanists don't actually believe in Satan. He's merely used as a symbol of passion, pride, and liberty. Well, yeah, some of them do believe in him. Even those who don't are obviously using it as an excuse to justify their own degeneracy, their own evil, by merely claiming, again, that they're not responsible for any of their malevolent behavior, not beholden to any kind of responsibilities. Goes on to say he means to you what you need him to mean, which is basically the Satanic credo, isn't it? Do what thou will shall be the whole of the law. Basically, do whatever you want, sod everyone else. Commit evil, be malevolent. So for me, Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. The description claims, adding so naturally, Satan respects pronouns. He loves all LGBT plus people. And that's a fantastic mascot to have for your movement, isn't it? Other products feature skeletons draped in pride and trans colours. Gay cult stuff. Again, it literally says, we're part of a gay cult. And this is what Target has chosen to endorse and sell in its stores. Again, Target, the same company that is busy pulling some of its stores out of major cities because they keep being looted over and over again, now choosing to go down the Bud Light Dylan Avery route and risking another potential massive successful boycott. So good luck with that. Meanwhile, this came out last week and most people didn't even see it. Transgender mass shooter also targeted cathedral. During a killing spree, transgender mass shooter Audrey Hale also targeted a neo-Gothic cathedral attached to the Covenant School. This came out as a result of an article written by a family member of one of the victims who revealed this detail, which hadn't so far been revealed in news media reports, that the killer targeted a cathedral, shot out some stained glass windows. And then it was reported again last week that this manifesto, of course, whenever there's a manifesto online from a white shooter, or indeed an obscure profile on a Russian social media website that fits in with the exact narrative that the regime wants to push, that was very convenient, wasn't it, last week? Well, it's released within 24 hours. Everybody knows the history of the shooter, their motivation, their latest Facebook post, every single intricate detail. And we're now, what, getting towards 2 months after the Nashville shooting, the manifesto, which is voluminous, if reports are bitter believed, has not been released. No plans to release it. And it, in fact, came out that this is part of a litigation. And it's, in fact, the parents of the dead children who don't want the manifesto released. It says, no one was more traumatized or has suffered more than the families of the victims and survivors of the Covenant School tragedy. No one can claim a remotely similar interest in whether the writings of the shooter should be released, states a legal brief. They say the manifesto of the work is the work of a mentally deranged person and is dangerous and harmful. A lot of people would counter that and say we need to understand the motivations behind what is increasingly becoming a violent movement to try and prevent such tragedies from happening again. But that is one of the main reasons why we haven't seen the manifesto so far. Meanwhile, Daily Signal reports exclusive, this just came out, in fact, today, leaked policy exposes Fox News stances on woke ideology, says Fox News employees are allowed to use bathrooms that align with their gender identity rather than their biological sex. So hairy men wearing dresses are allowed to go into female bathrooms, basically, and they're permitted to dress in alignment with their preferred gender. This is Fox News, the conservative broadcaster, says they must also be addressed by their preferred name and pronouns in the workplace. That's come out as part of Fox News' workplace transition plan, which has now been revealed. Again, drilling to the core of the fact that Fox News is a complete front when it comes to representing conservative voices in America. They're complete sellouts. They're beholden to the regime. They're fake loyal opposition. And that's one of the main reasons why they got rid of Tucker Carlson. Meanwhile, U.S. State Department offers counseling to staff after pronoun glitch. Again, Fox News would be presumably right on board with this policy. The U.S. State Department has offered free therapy to employees who were hurt or upset when the email system misgendered them. All poor babies with random he, him, or she, her pronouns. Amid its embrace of all things LGBT, the State Department now reportedly requires all employees to list their pronouns in their email signatures. So basically, they're offering therapy to the people who are so grievously harmed by being accurately described as their birth gender. Let's go to this final video now, a bit of a change of gears, talking about the emergence of non-native big black cats in the United Kingdom. Fascinating subject. This video is called They're Here. Let's roll it. Well, there's no doubt about it. They're here. No, not them. I'm talking about big cats being sighted across the UK. And finally, some previously elusive scientific evidence that the phenomenon is indeed real. The Cotswold town of Chipping Campden is buzzing with reports of a black cat patrolling its rural outskirts. Jane Wolfe saw the big black beast along Conduit Hill about to pounce on something going up a tree last month. The creature was also seen by another person. And a Facebook post from this morning relates a similar tale. A man was driving down into Westington, which is just down the hill from Conduit Hill at around 1 a.m. last night. He saw the black beast dart out behind his car and across the road. He said it was much bigger than a domestic cat and almost the size of a dog. Another black panther was also spotted earlier this year in nearby Pershore. In fact, Gloucestershire in general has been awash with reports of black panthers and black leopards. Concern is building because there have been numerous sheep attacks linked to the sightings. But now we have firm proof that yes, indeed, big cats are running wild in the UK. A hair sample from a barbed wire fence was tested after footage emerged of a big cat a few miles away. The farm in question lost two sheep to predatory attacks, and tooth pit analysis showed they'd been killed by large carnivores. Mitochondrial DNA analysis of the hair ascertained a 99% match to a big cat species. There's no longer any doubt that they're here. In Gloucestershire, the big cats are becoming so common, they're being seen near airports and on the side of motorways. How many of these things are just skulking around out there, breeding with each other? Now, obviously, big cats roaming wild around the countryside aren't native to the UK. So how on earth did they get here? Some more imaginative types have tied the whole phenomenon to the weird and wonderful world of cryptids and UFOs, but the more likely explanation is far more down to earth. The Dangerous Wild Animals Act of 1976 made it illegal to keep big cats without a license and stringent accommodation regulations being followed. Result? Well, particularly in the southwest of England, many of the people who had been keeping them as exotic pets simply released them all into the wild. What could possibly go wrong? Because releasing them into the wild wasn't banned until the 1981 Countryside Act. So these big cats being witnessed now are the offspring of those that were released in the late 70s. Crucially, it's being reported that these big cats now seem to appear healthy, confident, and comfortable in their environment. They're not recent escapees, they're permanent residents, which means the government may have to act if they keep increasing in number and killing livestock. Have you seen a big cat in the UK? Let me know in the comments below. Not going to have time to get into these final stories in any detail, but Bud Light Distributor sends out public plea to bring back customers that continue to hemorrhage money as a result of backing woke insanity. Target, take note. Bud Light Mulvaney ad may violate ethics rule against promoting booze to kids. The fallout continues. It shows no sign of stopping. That's going to wrap it up for the show. War Room is next. I'll go away.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.